Baby, we are back. Well, BFS Army Fantasy Football Show today. I got my guy, Brandon Adam. Of course, I'm your host, Flex Shane. Brandon, it's been way too damn long since you and I have had the opportunity to record. Yeah. Ask, how the hell you doing, brother?
Awesome. I'm so happy that you got into your new place, moved in, ready to go, was able to get into your new house. It's awesome. And congrats on that again. And you'll see a lot more Shane now since he's all set up and good to go now.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Not that honestly anybody really cares about, you know, what is the inner workings of Shane's life, but I've been going through a house move. And for those of you who have gone through it, I get it now. I finally understand. And here's the thing, yeah. Brandon, we decided we wanted to move closer to downtown. I live in Calgary, Alberta. So I wanted to live closer to downtown. So we had to downsize. We were out in the burbs. And man, you accumulate a lot of shit in your house. And you know, it's funny. So I was at my parents' house this weekend. And after you've gone through a move, you start to look at things differently, right? And my parents, I wouldn't quite classify them as hoarders, but they've been in the same house since 1989, which means they themselves have gotten a lot of shit. And like yesterday, I was looking at one of their closets. I'm like, fuck, man, I know I'm going to be the one that's going to have to go through this. You know, they're very healthy and stuff like that, but they're going to have to move at some point.
You're pissed at them. You're like, you got to clean this shit up before you leave.
Clean this shit up. Exactly. It's funny how the roles change as you get older in life, man. But so shit, you know what's funny about role changes, Brandon? It's actually very apt because on the show today, we want to talk a little bit about, look, just the impact that the NFL draft is going to have on our fantasy football teams. Because listen, that's why we actually give a shit here, right? We want to talk about our fantasy football teams. And the key thing is that we've identified some specific players that could be either for good or for ill. The NFL draft is going to have on these players. But then we also took a bit of a broader approach, and we're going to look at some of these teams because there are some teams that have some glaring needs. But if they nail the draft, or in some cases decide to trade back, accrue a little draft capital, punt for the future, New England Patriots, then maybe there won't be a lot of fantasy impact this year. But, you know, it's kind of interesting. We were just talking about the show, though, before the show. And before we get into it, Brandon, I'm going to plug you and Matt because you guys have been on this channel crushing, absolutely crushing the rookie content. So we're still about a month away from the rookie draft, Brandon. And I implore all of you out there on the DFS Army YouTube page and on the DFS Army podcast feed, if you're not subscribed, go subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. It's there.
Yep.
Go back and listen to some of your earlier shows, like even before the combine, because it's interesting because like you and Matt are so into this, right? And when a player that you guys like goes out and has a standout combine, you guys are like, holy crap, like to the freaking moon, right?
Yeah.
Go back and listen to some of those early February shows. You guys were doing rookie contact back in January. Just have a little listen. And then just this week on the podcast feed, go back, check out the show from Brandon and Matt. They talked about a Daniel Jeremiah mock draft, and they discussed the fantasy football implications of that mock draft, and then even did a mock draft. So you go out there, Brandon, you look a lot of the, go to Sleeper and do a lot of these, do a couple mocks, and you realize, man, it's going to be turned on your head right after this draft. So it's going to be wild, brother. But hey, listen, let's get into it. Let's get into some of the players that you're mostly looking forward to. We're calling it the Dynasty Market Watch. Give me your first player, brother.
Yeah, I think the first player, it's a glaring one. We're going out to Las Vegas. The running back situation out in Las Vegas was Zamir White. As of right now, with the departure of Josh Jacobs, he's slotted in as RB1 for the squad. And last year, right now, on Keep Trade Cut, he's RB27 right now. So he's going behind, going around names like Zach Charbonnet, Kendre Miller, Jonathan Brooks, Blake Corum, Ramondre Stevenson, Jalen Warren. That's where this guy's going. But if you look at the last five games of the year with him, the last five games, he would have ranked number three out of all the RBs, right in front of Breece Hall last year when he was getting 20 touches a game. He was able to still get – he was at 4.73 yards per carry during those four games where he was a starter. He was getting 99 rush yards a game. He had plenty of opportunity. He had 387 yards during that those four games where he was the legit dude. And if that is the case, then he's going to be skyrocketing up boards and could be a legit value right now, especially because he's at RB27 on KTC. But he could also be cratered very easily if a Marshawn Lloyd goes to Vegas, or if Blake Corum goes out there. Blake Corum's a guy that could be a workhorse and step right in and be a guy. But Zamir White, he was pretty good. You were a big fan of him coming out of Georgia during the draft process when he was coming out, and I just feel like there's an opportunity for him, but that opportunity could be very much stymied if one of our guys that we like, let's say Jalen Wright goes there or out of nowhere or something like that. And you could see his value cratering again. But if you want to take a risk, that's a nice little risk to do with this guy, because he's going to be able to walk into a starting role with 20. And if he's getting old school football, what that Antonio Pierce is talking about doing as a Raiders coach, they're talking about defense, run the football, deep shots, baby. And that's what they want to do. And I think that is a guy that we can target as a nice value, and we can steal him for away from people before this draft happens, possibly. And because people are worried about the risk of that, and maybe we can steal a nice value, a top 12 running back, running back next year.
So I think without a doubt, when you just look at their depth chart, right, they've got Alexander Mattison now backing up in parentheses, backing up Zamir White. Mm-hmm. There is a possibility here, Brandon, that they just decide to roll with Zamir White. So if they actually do, like when you look at the Raiders overall draft picks, I mean, they've got Gardner Minshew as their starting quarterback. So at pick 13, are they realistically going to get one of these, let's call it the big three, big four quarterbacks? Probably not. Maybe they'll get a guy like a Michael Penix. That's in the range of possibilities, right? But they have a bunch of other needs other than the running back position. So, and then you look at their actual draft picks, like obviously at 13, you're not going to go, it would be foolish around two with their 44th overall pick to go running back. I think there, maybe in the third round, they've got 77 overall, and then they've got one, fourth, fifth, sixth draft pick, right? So they don't have a ton of capital this year. It would be very smart, based off of how Zamir White performed last year, to just roll with him, man. Like, why not? He's on contract still. Why not just roll with the Zamir, right? And then build up your defense and play some tough-nosed football. The thing, so I did really like Zamir White coming out of college. So I was fortunate enough that I had a fair amount of him on my dynasty teams. And let me say, he definitely helped me get into the championship and win a few championships along the way. Just because, and that's kind of how we play our dynasty fantasy football, right? Like, at this point, it's kind of become cliche, but we've been doing it for a while. You load up on your young wide receivers. You get a few solid quarterbacks in Superflex, and you just roll the dice, man. Like the Jerome Fords of the world. Same sort of situation, right? But Zamir White's not sexy. He's like a David Montgomery, a Brian Robinson.
That's a good comp. That's a great comp. Like last night when I was thinking about the situation, I was like, man, can he put up David Montgomery numbers when he was with the Bears? Can he do that?
They were awesome.
I think he can do it. I think he's got the talent to do so. And like you said, they signed Madison. So that takes care of the RB2 and on that team on the depth chart. So it would be a complete luxury pick to pick a third back. So I think Zamir White is going to be the guy, and I think they are going to roll that direction. And like you said, they're limited with draft capital. So I think they got it.
So if you're, cause we're looking at this from a dynasty lens, Brandon, if you're in a dynasty league, if he's on your team, what would you accept as in terms of a trade pick compensation to move him off your team, and vice versa? What are you willing to pay for him, and are they equivalent?
Like 2.5, 2.05, 2.04. All the backs are coming off the board starting from like 2.01. And then you could start. I've literally done so many mocks, and it's like three straight backs. As soon as one back goes, they all go, and it's usually Blake Corum, Trey Benson, and who else? Well, there's should be one more. Marshawn Lloyd sneaks in there sometimes, but
yeah, I think Jonathan Brooks too, right? He's pretty popular.
Jonathan Brooks is one. Yeah, that's another one. That's usually Brooks goes before Corum, and that usually is what breaks the seal. But yeah, I think Zamir White is just as talented as a lot of these backs, to be honest, that are coming out. Like we've been saying, and the market's been shaking out that way. We've said it before the free agency started. We said that there's really no dominant running back prospects coming out this year. Yep. There's some fun speculative ones. There's some fun speculative guys like a Jalen Wright, a Marshawn Lloyd. Those guys are speculative. They have some good traits that we like to see, but they just don't have the production that we want and the production profile. But like we know, RB in the NFL is really just about who gets the opportunity. And if they get the opportunity, man, they can run away with the job. But Zamir White is more than capable of being a starting running back in this league for at least just 1 year. I think Zamir White's a great value.
Let me ask this question, Brandon. If you were kind of like tiering these running backs, because I look at where these ADPs are and where they're projected so far, just is all, a lot of it's mock data, right? But I generally have pre-NFL draft these top guys in a bit of a tier. So Trey Benson, Blake Corum, Jonathan Brooks, and Jalen Wright. To me, they're kind of like the core four, right? And if that how you position those guys is going to largely depend on where they land. And then we have Marshawn Lloyd and Braylon Allen. Now, I know you were really high on Braylon Allen to start. For whatever reason, the drumbeat seems to be slowing, not for you per se, but just as this process is going forward. Now, he didn't test at the combine, which is
that's why.
Moment. And Wisconsin hasn't had a pro day yet, I don't think, right?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Yeah, I should look that up.
Yeah, because that'd be interesting to see if like he actually does testing at his pro day. That's what we see a lot of times with these players. It's other than a few, obviously, but like
he said he was battling an ankle issue, and that's why he didn't do the combine.
Right.
So, but I don't know if that's full of crap.
Yeah.
You know, like it seemed pretty convenient to say that. They just had it on Friday.
Oh, they did. Okay. Did he test? Do you see?
He did not.
He did not test. Okay, so he's still probably dealing with that. So that's. It's a bit of a black box, right? And for those of you who are still just trying to learn about these players, can you just say why you like Braylon Allen and what the upside is with this guy? And that could disrupt the Zamir White, right?
Sure. Braylon Allen coming in as a true freshman, a 17-year-old kid, came in to college and absolutely dominated the first year of college. And really came out of nowhere and just decided to take that job at Wisconsin and did really well as a true freshman. Was well over five yards per carry, was breaking tackles consistently, his breakout age is ridiculous. So right now he's only 19. He's only 19 right now.
I think he just turned 20.
Yeah, he just turned 20. Okay, so he just turned 20. Mm-hmm. And as we know with the RBs, man, if you get the value of the RBs are from 20 years old to 25, right? 26.
Yep.
And if you can steal a year and come out as early as he has and be able to steal a year of value, a year of production, that's very valuable to some of these teams that want to stay younger. And I feel like he's a complete mutant, man, but he did lose. In this last year, he was playing at 245, he said. At the combine, he weighed in at 237. During his first year at Wisconsin, he said he was playing at 235. So I think he should play at 235 the rest of his career. That should be his weight. He shouldn't go any bigger than that and actually be able to rock out and be able to take on a big, heavy workload. But he really didn't get the opportunity to have that Derrick Henry workload in college. He really didn't get that. I wish they would have. It would have showcased him a lot more. But Braylon, I just like the early breakout age on him. I like how he's a big monster and has an NFL body right now. And he just turned 20. So that's my biggest thing about him is that he he was able to produce as a true freshman, and he did it at 17. Like, it was just crazy. Like, he literally did it as a young man, and he just walked on the field like a complete god and produced.
And the thing too, and I really wish he did test, because athleticism really does translate at both the running back position and at the tight end position, right? So to have those metrics would have been very, very helpful, but
it would have been helpful
for a team to draft. And so my player, and this kind of just goes right into the same conversation that I'm having, Gus Edwards to me of the Chargers. Like, it's the exact same conversation with Zamir White. It's this guy, apparently he's being lauded as the true bell cow, and he's going to have that opportunity. But when you look at, like, last season was his most productive season. He had 198 rush attempts, which led his career. And he had 12 receptions, which led his career. To me, that does not have the profile of a true bell cow, right? So you look at just the opportunity for the Chargers. They've got the 5th overall pick. They've got the 37th overall pick, which is round 2. And then they've got 39 in round 3. So they've, like, that 37, 39, that could be a sweet spot. If there's a running back, this would probably be one of the top running backs off the board, right? Potentially, that could be a spot for them. And Blake Corum, man, like, Harbaugh loves his Blake Corum. So that could be a potential fit. And that would blow up the Gus Edwards narrative that he's a bell cow, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, Gus Edwards right now on Keep Trade Cuts, RB 47, dude. Or 43, I'm sorry, 43. He's RB 43. He's going around names like Roschon Johnson, Braylon Allen, Tyler Algier, Keaton Mitchell, Chuba Hubbard. Like, if he is the true bell cow and he is going to get all the work, because the Chargers are limited with resources, right?
Yeah.
And that, I don't know if they want to double tap on RB to be able to bring in another guy, but man, that scares me. He's 28 years old. I hear you. I'm right there with you. That was the Chargers were my second best place for an RB to land this offseason besides the Cowboys. And I think Gus Edwards landed in it, and he's got Roman, his old coach. He's got people he knows. They know him. So it's interesting to see. I'm actually curious about this one. This one's very, I could see them maybe pulling a trigger on an RB in the 4th, 5th round, maybe. That would be the range where they could get a complimentary back that could, you know, help out Gus Edwards maybe a little bit. But Gus Edwards is, it's up in the air with him.
They have 2 4ths. So that would be probably the sweet spot.
That's perfect.
If they were going to do that. But man, so I know you're going to talk about, I don't want to see your thunder. You're going to talk about the quarterback very quickly here. But just in general, man, this Chargers team has a completely different identity going into this season. Obviously, new head coach. The only thing that's really consistent is the fact that they've got Justin Herbert still sticking around, right? Like, other than that, Gus Edwards is new to the team. Their backup is still Isaiah Spiller. He's garbage. Sorry, Isaiah. I'm sure you're a nice guy. You're garbage. Quentin Johnson. I don't want to say bust, but probably bust, right? I actually, you know, it's interesting. I actually was doing a little, I was trading for Joshua Palma last year before his injury. He was a guy that had pop moments when Mike Williams was out. So he's now the de facto maybe wide receiver 1, maybe wide receiver 2 on that team. So that entire wide receiver core needs to be blown up. And then at the tight end position, they got Will Dissly, and then they signed Hayden Hurst this year. Hayden Hurst was interesting because, do you remember last year for Carolina, and actually it was Cody Carpentier, who we love, but he went to the training camps, and he was saying that Hayden Hurst was being peppered by Bryce Young, right, at Carolina last year. And so obviously that didn't exactly equate to fantasy anything. And Carolina, that's a whole different conversation, but I don't think either of us believe Hayden Hurst is a legitimate option. So, like, that entire team is just trash right now. And they could use any of these positions on the skill position, and it's going to benefit. But I'm going to dovetail. Talk to me about Justin Herbert.
Yeah, Justin Herbert is a hot topic right now in our community.
Yeah.
People really are holding on for dear life right now. Trying to, if you're an owner, you are terrified at what's happening right now. You lost Mike Williams first. Then Keenan Allen says, I'm not renegotiating shit. I just had a career year. And And he ends up being a Bear. And now Justin Herbert got Jim Harbaugh. That's a run first, old school, control the clock kind of coach, man. I don't care what anybody says. This guy has not unleashed any quarterback through the air, at least. Colin Kaepernick was using the rush upside. That was true. But that's not Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert is not Colin Kaepernick. That's not the style. That roster is a little upside down right now. And Herbert right now is at QB7 on keep trade cut right now. And that's too high, I'm not saying the talent of Justin Herbert doesn't deserve to be at QB7. He does. He is an unbelievable player, unbelievable talent. If he was on the Vikings, he would be probably QB3 for me. Okay. But situations are situations. And right now, the Chargers are in a full-blown rebuild on the offensive side of the football. And Justin Herbert has no help whatsoever. So even if they draft a Malik Nabers, a Rome Odunze, or a Marvin Harrison, that's not enough for me to say, hey, he can stay at QB7. I just don't think he's going to be able to produce. I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to produce at what he's used to doing with the attempts that he's used to having. He's used to having 600 attempts a year, man. That is not going to be the case for next year. I could see a career low. I think if Jim Harbaugh had his way, he's going to have a career low on attempts next year, and they're going to have a career high for rush attempts. Or as a team, they're going to have more rush attempts for anything else next year. And I can make an argument. I would take Caleb over Justin Herbert right now. I would take Anthony Richardson over Justin Herbert right now. I would take Jordan Love over Justin Herbert right now. I would take Kyler Murray is the demarcation mark for him, okay? I literally have Kyler and Herbert even in my ranks right now. They are QB 11 and 12 for me right now, and that is where he belongs. And so if you wanted to tear down to a Jordan Love plus for a Herbert, I would do that in a heartbeat right now. I would do that in a heartbeat.
See, here's the thing.
To get yourself more value.
Sorry, Brian. I think the market, the way that it's viewed right now, has him as a tier above. But if you really think about it, like just range of outcomes, like, and you listed a number of those players: Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott. Joe Burrow. Yep. Like, to me, those guys, they're all pretty much identical, like in terms of just their pure upside. And I know that we've been in on Kyler Murray, and we'll talk about the Cards a little bit later. But to me, if that guy can get a legitimate wide receiver, I don't think, by the way, at number four, I don't think the Cardinals are going to trade back. I think they're going to take found money. They're going to go Marvin Harrison.
Yes.
And just laugh. And so, I got to give this guy a shout out. I'll have to do a little bit later, but so there was a YouTube channel that you actually shared with me, Brandon. And I like to use Dynasty Nerds because it's every snap. So whether or not the player gets targeted or not, it's every snap is logged. But you said to YouTube channel, and it's every target and reception for these players, or every touch for a player. And it's a fantastic website, especially if you're new to this. And so I was watching the Marvin Harrison one, and it's every one. And it's, it's 20, 25 minutes per player, depending on the player. So it's a little bit of a time investment, but the amount of time you just see it. And I was watching like the Malik Nabers and the Marvin Harrison, because there's really right now, like, I don't want to tangent too much, but I'm going to tangent.
No, it's fine.
I still think when you just look at Marvin Harrison and how he plays the game, I know that maybe he doesn't have the same level of explosiveness, or at least on tape, at least it doesn't look like he has the same level of explosiveness as like
he doesn't. You're right. You're right.
But he just looks so damn controlled. Smooth. Yep. Right, like when you look at like peak Davante Adams, okay, where he was never the fastest player. Peak DeAndre Hopkins, peak Keenan Allen. That's how Marvin Harrison looks at college. That to me is why, and that's the thing. Like guys and ladies, go back 3 months before we started hammering the rookie talk. I'm sure y'all listen to a lot of different podcasts out there, and all there is right now is rookie fatigue. We're only in March, but there's still rookie fatigue, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Marvin Harrison is that guy. So I genuinely believe that Arizona would be silly to take that player. Now, then at number five, which is going back to the Chargers to bring this conversation around again, back to the Chargers, they have pick number five. Now, in my opinion, at that point, that I think is where Minnesota is going to trade up to mm-hmm. get whichever the fourth quarterback is on the board. Probably J.J. McCarthy.
J.J. McCarthy.
But it could be Drake May, right? It's probably Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. And then the Chargers have that opportunity to build the depth, right? Because the Chargers have a ton of needs. A ton of needs. And they didn't address it. They did the opposite. They were in sell mode because they had to get under that salary cap. And I totally get it. But they would be very smart to trade back. And that definitely creates an opportunity for a running back to fall in this.
The funny thing is, brother, they were under the cap before they released or traded Keenan Allen. They were under the cap. They did not have to make him restructure.
Yeah.
They did that and they pissed him off. And I think that was, I think there was some bad blood going on behind the scenes on that in that transaction. And with Justin Herbert, I know this is wild. I know this is a wild conspiracy, but this is fun. This is off-season stuff. Yeah. This is fun. What's the quickest way to fix a salary cap issue? And for the let's say Jim Harbaugh does believe in a J.J. McCarthy. What happens if Herbert is on the block and gets moved on to the Vikings for two first round picks? Let the Vikings pay that big contract. Yep. You jump in with J.J. McCarthy, rookie contract. You reset the clock for your program because Jim Harbaugh is in program building mode. This is not win now mode here. This is not. They are not going to be winning a championship anytime soon. So if Jim Harbaugh is a complete savage about this whole situation and he knows what he's gotten Herbert, gets himself a couple first round picks, loads up again, restarts a clock, and sends Herbert away and to a Vikings, or that makes the most sense to me, the Vikings, because they got the two first round picks. They got the 11 and the 23.
Yep.
And they can restart the clock and they get J.J. McCarthy, a guy that Jim loves. And that's as on the record saying, if he was at one, he would take him at one. I don't believe that whatsoever, but he said that. And so it's interesting where the Chargers are at. And if they are going to go full out, I would just do it, man. I would go full blown, restart the clock, and rebuild your whole program. And that is one way of doing it in a heartbeat. But that means you're going to take a lot of heat because Justin Herbert is, as a thrower of the football, top five talent in the league. So it's interesting. It's an interesting spot. That's why we're saying market watch Herbert.
Yeah.
But Herbert, to me, has a lot of name brand recognition. Still, you can still sell him at pretty much 95 cents on the dollar what he's really worth.
Yep.
But I think that's somebody I would tear down from and just go buy a Jordan Love and get a plus. That's what I would do.
You're spitting.
I know it's hard to say.
No, you're spitting a lot of truth out here, Brian, and that makes a lot of sense for a team, right? Because you're right. And what's kind of interesting, so this conversation about Caleb Williams, right, at 101, and speculation that he's recently debunked, and it seems like he started to embrace, but at the start, there was a belief that he didn't want to be a Chicago Bear, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Bears have done a lot of good things,
yes,
including bringing over Keenan Allen, the aforementioned, right? And
he's
already starting to talk in the we, the us.
Yes, they're fine. It's starting to come in, or you start hearing that. You're right.
But really, one of the reasons why I think, you know, I mean, he's from the South, and so maybe, like, you know, California. So maybe he didn't want to go to cold Chicago. Chicago's a beautiful city, by the way, Brandon. You've been there a few times, I think.
Yep.
It's an awesome city. And they've done well to build it. So I think that makes a ton of sense, because you look at the Chargers in general, Like, it goes all the way back to the Eli Manning days where he didn't want to be a Charger because of the general dysfunction of the organization, right?
Right.
And you look like 15 or so years later, there's still that general dysfunction with that organization. They haven't really done anything. Through that time, they were the San Diego Chargers. Now they're the LA Chargers. They have completely just gotten rid of, like, you talk about the identity of that team, like, just from a city perspective, it was Justin Herbert and it was probably Keenan Allen. And to a degree, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler, he's gone too, right? All the faces of the organization, they're all gone.
Gone.
Why not just pull the cord, man? Just do it right. Just do it proper. Get rid of Justin.
I'm telling you. Honestly, that's what I would think about it.
What happens though? Okay, so this is plan A for them, right? Plan A is we hold our pick at 5. We hope that Drake May goes 3 to the Patriots. We hope that Marvin Harrison goes 4 to the Cards. And at pick number 5, JJ McCarthy, let's get the band back together, baby. And before they make that pick, they got to trade away Justin Herbert, right?
Yep.
Like, so that pick will happen. So it's going to be a draft day type pick.
On that clock, dude, I'm gonna sit there very intently when the Chargers are on the clock.
Yeah.
Because it's going to tell you everything. It's going to tell you everything they are thinking in that selection at 5. Because if they're going to keep Herbert, they're going to trade back. They're going to trade out. They're getting out.
What do you think, like, if a Drake May or a Jaden Daniels happened to fall because one of these teams fell in love with JJ McCarthy, do they do the same thing? Because if they're okay with any of those three quarterbacks, they might do the pick before the draft, like trade to pick before or trade Herbert before the draft.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean,
it's possible. I would wait till being on the clock. With an asset like Herbert, you need to know. I can tell Jim is a very specific guy. He's got a program building layout right now in his brain. I guarantee what's going on is like, he's like, I want to be competitive. I want to win the division 2 years, 3 years from now, 2 years, 3 years from now. That's what they're building towards. And Herbert could be a part of that. They could still keep Herbert, trade out, get 11 and 23 and be able to still get a Brian Thomas Jr. at possibly 11 and get a weapon for Justin Herbert and then maybe even double tap wide receiver and go again at 23 and go get yourself another guy, maybe an Xavier Worthy at that 23 to get speed on that offense as well. That would be a way to go about it as well. But I have a little thing. My reptilian lizard brain is telling me there are two quarterbacks that could possibly be on the block that nobody's talking about. And that's Justin Herbert and Tua. Those are the two quarterbacks that literally could be traded away this draft if it falls correctly, because both of those teams are in salary cap hell. Both teams had to rip apart their rosters this year because of salary cap issues. And if McDaniels is not 100% sold on Tua, I'm telling you, this might be the year that he moves on from Tua, because they're going to have to pay Tua again here soon. And I can see Tua getting moved and maybe a Michael Penix being targeted for them as well.
So let's talk about that for a second, okay? Because you talk about Tua potentially being moved. I look at just their general team. Like, they've got a pretty solid team. It's, you know, at the running back position, they've got Mostert and Achane. And there's been a lot of talk out there that Mostert's replacement is going to be in this draft, right? But when you actually
100%.
Look at the capital, they've got the 21st pick overall in round one. They've got the 55th pick overall in round two. They don't have a third. They don't have a fourth. They have 1/5, 2/6, and a 7th. They don't exactly have a ton of capital. Mm-mm. So if they go and they trade a Tua, I don't think Penix is going to fall to 21, right?
Like, no, I think they would end up taking him at 11 if they trade with the Vikings.
Okay, so would you think that would be straight up? Because obviously Justin Herbert would demand at least two firsts, at least.
Justin Herbert's two. I think it's straight up with them. With Tua, because he's not the same as Herbert.
Interesting.
He's not.
That's spicy, man. That's very spicy.
Yeah. It's just, there's a lot of stuff going on, I'm telling you. And with what Daniel Jeremiah is saying, like, there is some major spice going on.
Hey, yeah. So let's put it, I got to ask. Michael Penix goes to the Miami Dolphins at pick 11 overall. Where the hell do you place him in your rookie draft?
106.
106.
Yes.
Like, let's talk it through. Okay, so Caleb's 101. Okay, then the next, let's call it Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison are going to be 2-3, right? Because whatever. And then at that point, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix. Is Penix number one of those guys?
Dude, you know me. I've been saying Michael Penix has a hint of C.J. Stroud to him. Yep. And, man, in that is the offense and scheme fit for Michael Penix to succeed right away. And I would – dude, I could see myself taking him at 104, 105 if that is the way it shakes out. Because I am not a Drake May guy. I'm on the record of saying he is Carson Wentz reincarnated.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be Carson Wentz. Jaden Daniels, though, he has so much upside. It would be hard for me to pass him up. I would take probably Jaden Daniels ahead of Penix. But if Penix landed with the Finns, I probably would take Penix over Drake May to – the Patriots or Drake May to wherever he goes. I just, besides the Vikings would be a good fit too.
That's wild.
Because I'm telling you that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so much right now that there are big time decisions. People are not talking about it. And with the way Tua performed in the playoffs this last year, it wasn't good. And it's just clear to me that, I just feel like McDaniels wants more. He wants more. Maybe. Upside.
To be fair, more. It was a freaking frozen tundra.
I don't care. Both teams had to play. I don't care.
Makes a difference.
I don't care. As a guy that's played sports, that doesn't mean shit to me. Like, that, you just got to play and perform. And Tua really didn't play and perform. But Tyreek Hill did get shut down. Was not Tyreek Hill. But, I feel like Penix would be a great fit there, but that's just me kind of looking at the landscape and seeing there's a real possibility with getting your quarterbacks, your flavor of quarterback in this draft class, and be able to and what is the number one the best contract in NFL and pro football is the rookie QB contract. The second best is the rookie wide receiver contracts. Those are the two best contracts in football right now. And so if you can restart the clock, reset it up, and be able to load up again and still come out with one of the best deep ball throwers to come out of college football as the Dolphins, that's something to think about.
Yes, we got Mike Yeggs coming in the house. He likes Penix at six as well. So I wonder, my question to you, Mike, is that agnostic of landing spot? Like, are you going to take Penix even if regardless of the team that he lands on?
He has to be top 15 for that. For me to pick Penix at 106 or above, he needs to be a top 15 pick.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because it's so hard, especially like if he lands on a team where he's not the immediate starter, like it's so hard to use that high-end capital because anything can freaking happen, right? Yep. Anything can happen at that point. Okay, so a few other things I do want to talk about. We've kind of touched on it, but just in general, like the wide receiver core in Arizona is wide open, right? So I think we agree. Michael Wilson, we like him. He's a decent depth player, but to me, he's more like a Justin Watson type player, right? Where a quarterback might like him as like his third wide receiver, but he's not a one, and maybe he could have, be a two.
He could be a two. He's like a Zay Jones. I'm gonna say he could be a two. He could be a two, dude. Potentially, I'm telling you,
he could be.
Yeah.
So that's wide open. I want to belabor that point, but let's. I know we're all over the place, Brandon. It's because this is what happens. We don't freaking have a show for 2 months, right?
Yeah. But
two players I want to talk about because there's a lot of rumors out there on these two players, and they can have a dramatic impact both to the draft, but as well to the team that they get traded to, and a direct impact on our fantasy teams. Those players are T. Higgins, who was franchise tagged. As of the date, it's March 24th right now. I don't believe they've negotiated a longer term deal. I think it's July 15th or right around that time frame where they had that much time to negotiate a deal. T. Higgins is upset, as he should be, right? I think T on any other team is a de facto wide receiver one. Like, you look to 100%. See what, like, Michael Pittman, right? He's like a Michael Pittman type player, and 100%. He would be one. He's not on Cincinnati because Jamar Chase is there. So he could be moved. That could definitely shake up the Cincinnati wide receiver core. And then, man, Brandon Ayuk. Lots of rumors out there that he's going to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. He even went out and he X'd or tweeted or whatever the hell you want to call it, that he looks exactly like Mike Tomlin. And it's funny because it's uncanny, man. They look very, very similar. And
they do.
It's just funny that he's kind of embracing it, right? But my question to you, Brandon, like, Brandon Ayuk has definitely shown the ability to have, like, wide receiver one, maybe not like high-end wide receiver, but, you know, like, right around wide receiver 8 to 12, right? Kind of like that sweet spot range.
He has the ability.
He's got the ability there. He's an insane deep ball wide receiver, and he's an insane yak wide receiver, right? That's why he's been so effective on the Niners. My question to you, though, Brandon, is if he goes to another team, are we confident that even the Steelers would know how to use him properly?
Oh, yeah. If Brandon Ayuk falls to a team that needs a – let's say he gets traded – there are a couple
the
teams Steelers. That need a wide receiver.
It's the Steelers.
Steelers?
Yeah.
The Steelers are a good fit with him, but that means another name that we need to market watch is George Pickens.
Sure.
So Pickens is rising at like crazy right now because people are assuming that he's going to be the de facto wide receiver one. If a Ayuk arrival happens, that will never happen with Pickens. Ayuk is by far the better player. I kind of compare Brandon Ayuk to Stephon Diggs when he was with the Vikings. And if he goes to the right situation, Brandon Ayuk can jump right into the top eight conversation, top seven, top six, if he's with a decent quarterback. And because he's just got so much ability. I think he's one of the best route runners in the league right now, bar none. I think he's a very special player, but if he gets traded, I'm to the right situation. I'm all in on Brandon Ayuk. I'll jump in on him. I've been a big fan of Brandon Ayuk. I have a lot of them from the second round when he came out as a rookie. I have a lot of T. Higgins because I got him in the second round as a rookie. So those are the two guys that I think could really come in to any situation and be a real one. And excel.
Who are you drafting first? Brandon Ayuk or George Pickens? Probably Ayuk, right?
Ayuk, 100%.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, Mike Yeager was asking in the chat here, what happens to Pickens? I mean, both
Pickens honestly, gets cratered. Yeah. Like, it's just a fact.
Yeah.
That Pickens has a lot to lose here. Pickens owners have the draft and the trade situations that those are two massive, massive bullets they're going to have to sweat. Because I don't believe Pickens can be a legit one. Can you? Do you think it's in him to be to have the offense based around his skill set and just him? Like, no. I just don't see that.
No, honestly, his skill set with Deontay Johnson was perfect. It was a perfect fit. If they had a competent quarterback, it was a fucking perfect fit. But of course,
and Deontay and Ayuk are very similar. Route runners, Ayuk is much better down the field. Better down the field.
I would say Brandon Ayuk is more explosive after the catch, and he's got greater down the field ability. I feel like Deontay Johnson's far more nuanced in his route running, and just the ability, call it to 12 to 15 yard mark, like that's where Deontay really would make his hay. So similar skill sets, slightly different. I still think Deontay is just he's a target monster. He's going to be really good in Carolina. Like for Bryce Young for fantasy football, I'm still a little worried. But for Bryce Young's development, he's going to be a fantastic player. But I mean, I think make no mistake, Pittsburgh is going to address the wide receiver position.
100%. I don't know why people think they aren't. I can't believe people think they aren't going to do that. I've been on the chat. I've been reading on social media that Pickens is going to be the wide receiver one. It's not even close. They'll probably draft somebody in the third round or something. But guess what? Pittsburgh is damn good at picking wide receivers in the third round. like anybody that any wide receiver that the Steelers draft, I'm in on because they've been hitting on everybody except for, you know, as of, I mean, Pickens has shown some, he's had what, he had five wide receiver one weeks last year. He got hot towards the end. He had that one game against the Colts where he just went crazy nuclear because the Colts just decided not to cover him and allowed him to explode the way he did. And I just feel like he's fool's gold right now. And he's a guy that I would love to package up with the first round pick to tier up a wide receiver, to go tier up, or maybe go get George Pickens and go buy a Tank Dell. I would do that in a heartbeat right now. I would go get Tank Dell right now for George Pickens because I have way more faith in Tank Dell out of what I saw out of him his rookie year compared to what I've seen out of Pickens during his career. And he's got Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson is a good fit for a George Pickens skill set. But I don't know about that with Justin Fields, man. I think Justin Fields needs guys that look open, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no,
definitely. Russ does not give a shit. He'll throw the ball up if he trusts you. Let's look at
Pittsburgh's draft picks again, because that's like what's important with this exercise. So they've got pick overall 20, right, in the first round. To me, that's definitely screams wide receiver. They've got pick 51 in round two, and then they've got pick 84 and 98 in round three. So they're definitely taking a wide receiver with one of those picks. The question is, how high is the capital they're going to spend on one of those picks?
And I'm telling you, if Brian Thomas is on the board, it's over. He's going to be a Steeler. Yep. Like, that is such a good fit. I would right now, Brian Thomas Jr. is below George Pickens in keep trade cut rankings. So I would 100% pivot to the cheaper option there and just take Brian Thomas Jr. even in redraft.
So I'll be honest with you, Brandon. I've been watching some more Brian Thomas, and I'm a little reluctant with him. Just a little reluctant. Now, I think his upside, like his peak upside, would be like a DK Metcalf type of player, right? Where a lot of boom bust potential. He's got that athleticism, which is certainly going to get him drafted highly. But I think 5 years ago, even 6 years ago, so not that long ago, he probably would have been a second round pick. But there's a lot of rumblings that he's going to be that first round pick. I worry that I don't think he garners the talent of a first round pick. I totally
disagree with you 100%. Let me ask you this.
Okay. DK Metcalf, if he was drafted in this draft as a prospect this year, would probably be a first round pick, right?
No.
Why?
He would be a second round pick.
So how is Brian Thomas's route running any better than
way better? Jordan Sutton? Really? He gets out of his breaks. He gets out of his breaks much better than DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf gets stuck in his routes. He still does to this day. Yeah. And the athleticism of a Brian Thomas Jr. And the flexibility in his route running is much at a deeper level than DK coming out. Even right now, he runs more routes than DK. I'm not even going to lie to you.
He just looks there's just something stiff about him. He just doesn't look. Maybe I got to go back and watch it. I don't know.
You got to watch him, man. He's the smoothest 4.3, 4.3, 4 I've ever seen in my life. That dude is easy speed. That is like, and he's able to break down at the stem of his routes and be able to separate. I'm telling you, watch more of him, but it's hard to watch him when Malik Nabers is on the other side and he looks just different. You know what I mean? That dude is different when you watch him break it down for routes, right? So I think DK is not the comp for him. People were comping him to George Pickens, which is absolutely disgusting. I was like, that is not true at all. This guy separates like nobody's business, and he finishes it, man. And he finishes it. And that is one thing I love about him, is that he has a nose for the end zone, and I think he's going to be a top. He has a possibility of going 10 to the Jets. I think 10 to the Jets is a possible destination for him. I think possibly another place for him, if let's say if the Broncos want to just wait and get a Bo Nix in the second round, trade up into the second round, go target Bo Nix somehow. Yeah. That's a possible landing spot for him for the Broncos. I don't see him falling past 15. I really don't.
See, to me, that's being overdrafted. Like
I would overdraft him in a heartbeat.
He's definitely more refined than a Cortland Sutton. But to me, I just watching him, he reminds me of a lot of DK Metcalf when I was watching DK Metcalf come out. That's just the player that he reminds me of. But
interesting.
I agree.
That's interesting. I'll relook.
There's definitely been some inflation on the wide receiver position in general in the NFL, right? Like a lot of these older, bigger guys could fall to round two and be drafted. But because of we talked about it with contracts, these are the wide receivers that are getting paid. So teams are wanting to spend more draft capital on these wide receivers in today's NFL. So there's some inflation to that value, I find. And Brian Thomas is that type of player. When you look at the nuance of a player like Aroma Dunze, like let's call it the big three, right? Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison, those guys are different. We lost Brad in here, so I'm going to keep talking. But for me, the Brian Thomas type player, when you look at his range of outcomes, that's more of a wide receiver two in today's NFL, like a Cortland Sutton, like a DK Metcalf. I dare say potential bust potential with a player like O'Quinton Johnson. Those are the types of players that he reminds me of watching his tape, and that certainly gives me some pause. Brandon, you were gone, so I didn't want to say it when you were live on the air, but I hinted that I don't know. I just like what we were talking with the Chargers earlier. Quentin Johnston, bust potential. Like those are the types of players that I fear when you look at these bigger body players like a Brian Thomas. I know, Mike. In the chat, he says, "Ew, Quentin." Exactly. So a little bit worrisome. But listen, Brandon, we're almost on an hour here. So there's a few storylines here that I want to make sure we get time to talk about, because there's a Denver wide receiver that you brought up that I want to make sure you have the chance to talk about. So tell me about this wide receiver in Denver. Do you think has huge breakout opportunity depending on how the draft goes?
Yeah, last year, the very first draft pick of the Sean Payton era for the Broncos was Marvin Mims, correct? And
that is correct.
That is somebody that would in the media, the Bronco media was always asking, why aren't we using Marvin Mims more? Because he's one heck of an explosive wide receiver, and why can't he get on the field? And Sean Payton would say every single time, it's because he can't get on the field because Jerry Jeudy plays the role that he would play. With the departure of Jerry Jeudy to the Browns, that opens up a major spot for Marvin Mims to have a major opportunity within that offense. And like as being a guy that Sean Payton targeted as the first ever draft pick of his era, that is somebody I wouldn't mind investing into right now with a late, let's say a late second, early third, if you can go get him. That would be somebody I would go target and go get, because I think he's going to be walking into a bigger, way bigger role this year.
That's a really interesting point in terms of, because where was Marvin Mims going in drafts last year? Probably like second half of round two, right? Depending on your flavor, that's where Marvin Mims was going. A lot of these players, like these rookie players, when they don't hit in year one, dynasty managers are far more open to just saying, you know what, I'm just going to re-roll this, right?
Yes.
If I can get similar draft cap, like dynasty draft capital back for this player, roll the dice, let him be somebody else's problem, right? Because it could be a boat, right? The Peter Griffin special, the box A and box B could be a boat versus we kind of know what Marvin Mims is at this point. And then you bait or add into the fact that Cortland Sutton is the de facto one in that offense, and Jared Stidham is currently the QB on the roster as a QB1. It's a mess in Denver, so you could probably get Marvin Mims. I bet you if you're the third. And you threw a few feelers out there in some of your leagues, there'd definitely be a manager out there that would give you a third for that, for sure.
I agree. I think he's obtainable. I think he has high upside, man. Upside.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fun shot to take. Maybe people got impatient with him and are willing to sell. So let them re-roll it, take the asset, and go for it, because he's going to walk into a bigger opportunity this year.
I love it. Okay, so just to close the show, Brandon, just a couple honorable mentions. Like, these are more so depth type positions that I think we should be watching for. But look to see who the Rams and the Colts draft as backup running backs, right? We know they've got Kyron. We know they've got JT. But we've also seen a propensity to ride that lead back in Indy. We saw it last year with Zach Moss, right? And he was fantasy relevant for a few weeks when Jonathan Taylor wasn't playing. And then Kyron Williams, I think that, like, Kyron Williams is the kind of guy Sean McVay probably has over for dinner. You know, like, they have pool parties together. These guys obviously like each other. So if Kyron Williams was to miss a little bit of time, there's not going to be a player that's going to just step in and have that same level of workload that Kyron Williams has. But we know what the Rams want to do. They want to ride a bell cow running back. It's one of those offenses that they still like the traditional, let's hammer it. So keep an eye out to see who they draft.
Yeah,
and Kyron Williams, he is a relatively smaller back. I believe he's right around 200 pounds, if not sub 200 pounds. I could see them drafting a bigger body player, like a Blake Corum could, or not a Blake Corum, or your guy. Sorry, that
Braylon
Allen. Excuse me. Yeah, a Braylon Allen type player. Like, to me, like, that would be a good fit.
Yeah,
in a Rams uniform.
Yeah,
and he would complement very, very well to Kyron Williams. And if Kyron Williams went down, Braylon Allen has the ability and the skill set to carry that offense. And man, that would be so sweet. So those are two offenses where I'm trying to keep an eye on. And then, honestly, more so from a negative perspective, like the Buffalo Bills, man, they need wide receivers and they definitely need a little bit more depth in a running back position. They've got James Cook, but behind James Cook is Ty Johnson as their backup running back. I love James Cook. I was definitely over my skis on him as a rookie. I thought that he was going to be explosive and have immediate year one impact. Devin Singletary happened, so James Cook didn't. But last year we saw it.
Yeah, last year, I mean, he was RB12 this year. Yeah. And that was with the shift when the OCs were changed out. You can see, if you go through his game log, you can see the shift. And James Cook is actually one of my targets I've been trying to acquire this year because I think this could be his breakout year. But quick question. Would you keep James Cook and the 107 or would you rather go get like a Kyron or James Cook or a Gibbs kind of guy?
Man, Gibbs, if you can get Gibbs for that, I would do that because Gibbs is the type of player that he can win you a league, right? Like we see it in fantasy football where there can be one or two players on your team, Kyron Williams, Jahmyr Gibbs, a CeeDee Lamb type player, Justin Jefferson, that can win you a league. So, yeah, I would do that for Jahmyr Gibbs.
Kyron?
No, definitely not for Kyron. I still have a lot of reservation with Kyron Williams. And maybe it's just my bias because I was out of him as a rookie.
Right?
And listen, like, there's this balance, Brandon, between the Brazian approach, right? Which is you take new information and you reevaluate the situation and you change your player takes, right? But then there's also the pre-analysis, right? So there's this balance between having strength in your takes and trusting your takes, but then adjusting to new information. I'm kind of somewhere in between with Kyron Williams. In my redraft leagues, I'm totally comfortable taking Kyron Williams right around the 1-2 term, which is where he's going. I think that's a great value for him. The upside there is immense. I still think there's risk. I still think he's a smaller player. He's not as athletic. Granted, he seems to have, I don't know, he looks different. He looks better on the field than his testing would suggest.
Right? Brother, it's so crazy how much better he looks on. Like, it just pisses me off because when he was coming out of Notre Dame, dude, I was a fan. I was a fan of him. I had him in my top four backs starting out our deal, and then he tested so poorly. I was like, oh, he's small and he's slow. I can't take him. No. And it's just like, no, motherfucker. Like, just trust your eyes when you watch him play football. Like, just trust you. Like, he's a football player. Like, the guy is a football player, and that's so tough. And our boy Matt, he was all over Kyron as well early in the process. He was all over Devon Achane as well. Where I was taking fucking Jonathan Mingo, he was taking Achane and laughing to the bank. And look what happened. And I just think with this undersized RB wave that we're seeing, and we're seeing going to the committee backfields, if you got a smaller back that's super efficient just take the back, man. Especially instead of taking a shot on a, you know, a wide receiver two that is a developmental guy. Like, I'm so stupid for doing that. And I just feel
stupid though, Brandon. Here's the thing. The mantra in the NFL has changed. It's evolved. It has. Right?
Yes.
5-6 years ago, right? Like this, and it, I say 5-6 years ago. It's not a long time, but it's a long time ago in fantasy.
It's football, a long time ago.
Right? Long time ago in fantasy football years. But there was the model was you have this workhorse running back, 215 pounds, 6 or 5'10", whatever, right? And that's the player that's gonna get the workload. That's what we saw. But as the NFL is evolving and it's becoming more of a wide receiver game, it's becoming coaches are trusting smaller running backs because that's what it's always been. It's always been about opportunity at the running back position. And as much as we would get enamored with these small, shifty running backs, they weren't getting the playing time. So you would draft them. They're super athletic and they wouldn't get the playing time. So it would just be a wasted pick. But nowadays, players like Devon Achane, Kyren Williams, they're getting an opportunity to actually show, okay, listen, I'm a little bit smaller, but because of the committee approach in general, because the NFL hates the running back position, these guys are having a meaningful impact because instead of getting 5-6 touches a game, they're getting 10, 11, 12 touches a game. And that is a good number because it's not going to get them hurt, generally speaking. But man, one play and Devon Achane can get a touchdown. He can have a 50-point week for you, right?
So, he's a league winner, dude. Like, he's Chris Johnson reincarnated. Like, it's crazy, but with better casting ability, better pass-catching ability.
So adjusting with the way the NFL is adjusting and changing and evolving, that's how you're going to do well in your fantasy teams, and that's why we're more open to this. But to go back to your original question, would I take a James Cook and a 107 for a Kyren Williams? I wouldn't, because to me, James Cook, range of outcomes, could have just as good of a season as Kyren Williams. And then at the 107, 100%. Let's just say, like we've been talking a lot about how the quarterbacks are going to be moved up, which is going to push the skill position players down. But if we just say that, okay, there's probably a big six, a big seven, there's going to be the top three quarterbacks, there's going to be the top three wide receivers, and then maybe a Brock Bowers, right? So that 107, as it is today, is kind of that line of demarcation.
I love the – dude, push to, trade for the 108. Trade for the 108. Trade for the 108. Because everybody thinks it's seven, dude, and it's more than that. It's crazy.
I think what's going to happen is one of these other quarterbacks, like J.J. McCarthy, is going to get pushed up, and it's going to be a big four, which is going to make it a 108. And I bet you a player like Aroma Dunze is going to fall. He's going to be the, I think, the one that's going to fall. So at the 108, that's going to be a good spot for Aroma Dunze. Even when you guys were doing your mock last week on the show, I mean, Dunze fell out of the first round, or he was like 9.
No, he fell to 10 because I took – because Brian Thomas Jr. was going to be the X for Kyler. And I'm all in on the wide receiver that the Cards get because that wide receiver is going to be walking into 130, 150 targets again. And I think I have the I think Brian Thomas Jr. has one of the highest ceilings of any of these wide receivers. He has more explosion than Marvin. He separates better than Marvin after the catch with speed. So he gets after it when he has the ball in his hands. I think Marvin's just so good all around that and he's got such brand recognition. I actually think he's being a little overinflated for what the impact is going to be. I think this is honestly, like, if you get Marvin Harrison, you could literally trade him straight up with a – you can find a team and you could trade an Amon-Ra for Marvin. You can get an Amon-Ra. You could get – somebody like that, an AJ Brown plus with a Marvin. You can get, you know, Drake London plus a first for a Marvin. Like that's what you could do. You could do that.
I wouldn't. If I can get Amon-Ra, I would do it in a heartbeat for sure.
Exactly. You could do that. I guarantee you could.
All right, Brandon, we're over an hour here, so I think we should probably end the show. But man, I think we hit about
a lot of stuff
I wanted to talk about because we just have so much I want to talk about. We're going to be back every week. We're going to get back on this weekly schedule. We're going to sprinkle in a little probably Brandon and Matt time because you guys love your rookie talks. And I think it's really important to keep going through these exercises, keep looking at different mock drafts because it prepares you and prepares our listeners and our viewers. Yep. For those of you on YouTube, go check us out, DFS Army. Make sure you
subscribe.
It prepares you for different situations because when the draft comes, it's going to mix things up. And if you've done these different iterations, you're able to quickly adapt and say, okay, I understand the value of my 108 now or my 110. Mm-hmm. And whether or not that's going up or down, spoiler alert, right now is the time to trade for picks because yes. they're only going to continue to get higher and higher to acquire as we
close
the draft. I know you're just trading for them, but here's the other thing. Here's the other thing too. And this is very, very important. Okay, Brandon. And I know you and Matt are like totally, you guys have drank the Kool-Aid. You guys are all in on this rookie class. It's the best class of all time.
It's just stupid how deep it is. It's just stupid.
But I'm just saying, Brandon, in dynasty fantasy football,
I know
proven production matters. Okay,
dude,
proven
I'm the biggest proponent of selling picks for great players. I know I'm one of the biggest guys. I love doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And here's the thing: I was always a friggin' I used to love. Like, I would get so enamored with rookie picks, Brandon. But I've kind of changed my mantra. And I've started to trade for players. And listen, sometimes it doesn't work out. I traded for Nick Chubb last year. Didn't work out, but that's okay.
That's okay. Because
sometimes you trade for players like CeeDee Lamb.
Yes.
Those are the types of guys that will have real impact on your team before their massive breakout. Which of these players can break dynasty fantasy football? Those are the types of players you want to trade your draft picks for. So just be cognizant, be responsible. We all love this rookie class, but understand there's just as good of a probability that some of these players are going to bust.
Amen.
So there you go. Be responsible.
I love that. That's awesome. Like, I totally agree with you on that. And people are really overvaluing the picks right now. But you know, 40% of them are going to bust. So just to let you guys know, in the first round, 40% is going to bust. So I just want people to understand that. Remember, especially with this JJ McCarthy rise, remember how Trey Lance rose? remember how fast Zach Wilson rose? Remember how people were doing that? Yeah. So let's just be real. But you know, if you have a chance to cash out of a pick and get elite production, I do that almost every time.
Yeah, no, so. I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. All right, brother. That's it. We're going to round the show. So stay tuned. Make sure you hit that bell. Make sure you're alerted every time we go live because that's what we do on this the DFS Army Fantasy Football channel. We're always doing live broadcasts. Go check us out on the podcast feed. And that podcast feed has all of our stuff. So if you like MMA, we have that for you. Mm-hmm. Fantasy golf is coming back, Brandon.
Yep, it's in.
It's coming back, baby. We're coming back. The Masters is just around the corner. Yep. DFSArmy.com, of course, that is where we hail. Go check it out. And yeah, Brandon, we're going to be here, and we're just getting started. So for Brandon, I'm Flex Shane, and we are the DFS Army Fantasy Football Show. Go get some. Every time, knowing that, diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot.